This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge and protection in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of our worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and die not, except in a state of submission as Muslims. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person. And from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah, fear him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the divine words of the Almighty Allah. And the best guidance is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters. For all the newly invented matters in religion are considered to be heretical innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa, he was with a group of companions. And he addresses them and he says, مَنْ مِنْكُمْ يَحْفَظُ حَدِيثَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ قَالَ حُذَيْفَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَا أَحْفَظُهُ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فقال عمر هاتي إنك لجريء قال يا أمير المؤمنين فتنة الرجل في أهله وماله وجاره تكفرها الصلاة والصدقة والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر قال ليس هذه أعني إنما الفتنة التي تموج كموج البحر. So Umar ibn al-Khattab was with the companions when he was the Khalifa, and he says, who among you knows the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the fitna, the trials, the times of fitna? Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu, being the person among the companions who used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about so many different things, including evil. He said, كان الناس يسألون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخير وكنت أسأله عن الشر مخافة أن يدركني. In one narration, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman says, people used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the good things, because they wanted to learn them and apply them. But I used to ask the Prophet ﷺ, in addition to that, I used to ask the Prophet ﷺ about evil, out of fear that it might catch up on me, or that I might have to deal with it. So back to the first situation with Umar ibn Khattab. So he says, who knows the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about the fitna? Hudhayfa says, I know it as he said it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, the fitna, or the trials that a believer faces with his family, with his wealth, with his neighbor, all of that is forgiven, meaning the sins that are inevitable. All of us are bound to fall short. All of us are bound to commit mistakes and to transgress the limits of Allah. So he says, these will be forgiven by prayer, with good acts of prayer, and giving charity that expiates the sins, wipes out the sins, and enjoining the good, and advising against the evil, giving advice. Umar al-Khattab said, I'm not asking about this. I'm asking about the fitna that rages like the gigantic waves of the ocean. Al-fitnatu allati tamuju kamawj al-bahr. فقال حذيفة بن اليمان يا أمير المؤمنين ليس عليك منها بأس. He said, oh chief of the believers, you know, you have nothing to worry about when it comes to these fitna. فإن بينك وبينها بابا. Because between you and those severe gigantic trials, there is a gate, there is a locked or closed door. فقال عمر أيكسر الباب أم يفتح؟ قال بل يكسر. عمر said, will that gate or that door be opened, unlocked, or will it be knocked down? حذيفة said, it will be knocked down. قال عمر إذن لا يغلق أبدا. عمر said, then if it's knocked down, it will never be closed again. The scholars say that this is the marking of the trials, severe trials, that will fall on the believers till the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, بُعِثْتُ وَالسَّاعَةَ كَهَاتَيْنِ. I was sent close to the hour, just like these two fingers. The scholars again who commented on this hadith, they said that the time that lapsed from the creation of Adam, or from the sending Adam to the earth, to the time of the Prophet ﷺ, compared to the time when the hour is going to come, is like the difference between these two fingers. So the difference between these two fingers is the difference between the time of the Prophet ﷺ and the hour, compared to the starting or the beginning of human history on earth. Meaning very close. And the sending of the Prophet ﷺ is considered to be the first sign of the hour. The first sign of the nearness of the hour. The Prophet's wife, Zainab bint Jahsh radiyallahu anha, and sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad, qalat, دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم علي يوما فزعا محمرا فقال ويل للعرب من شر قد اقترب. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered into my room, my chamber, and he said, woe to the Arabs from an evil that is drawing near. وَيْلٌ لِلْعَرَبِ مِنْ شَرٍ قَدْ اِقْتَرَبُ. Woe to the Arabs from an evil that is drawing close. لَقَدْ فُتِحَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ رَدْمِ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ مِثْلُ هَذِهِ. A gap in the dam of Ya'juj and Ma'juj was opened. A hole was created in that dam, in that partition, as big as this. وحلق بين الإبهام والتي تليها.
Prophet ﷺ entered petrified. He entered the room petrified, and his face was red. Was red. Woe to the Arabs from an evil that is drawing near. Today, a gap like this was created in the dam of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَنَهْلَكُ وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ O Messenger of Allah, will we perish? Will we be destroyed? Will among us are the righteous people? قَالَ نَعَمْ إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخَبَثِ He said, yes, when evil becomes widespread. When evil becomes widespread, destruction will fall upon people. I'll share with you a few hadith from the Prophet ﷺ with regards to the fitna. The Messenger ﷺ said to the Muhajireen one day, Ya ma'ashar al-Muhajireen, خَمْسُ خِصَالٍ إِذَا ابْتُلِيتُمْ بِهِنَّ وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَن تُدْرِكُوهُنَّ لَمْ تَظْهَرِ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ قَطُّ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوا بِهَا إِلَّا فَشَى فِيهِمُ الطَّاعُونُ وَالْأَوْجَاعُ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ مَضَتْ فِي أَسْلَافِهِمُ الَّذِينَ مَضَوْا وَلَمْ يَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ إِلَّا مُنِعُ الْقَطْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَلَمْ يَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ إِلَّا أُخِذُوا بِالسِّنِينَ وَشِدَّةِ الْمَؤُونَةِ وَجَوْرِ السُّلْطَانِ وَلَمْ يَمْنَعُوا زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ إِلَّا مُنِعُ الْقَطْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ ولولا البهائم لم يمطروا ولم ينقضوا عهد الله وعهد رسوله إلا سلط الله عليهم عدوا من غيرهم فأخذوا بعض ما كان في أيديهم وما لم تحكم أئمتهم بكتاب الله ويتخيروا مما أنزل الله إلا جعل الله بأسهم بينهم The Prophet ﷺ says to the companions, five traits. If they take place among you, if they are available among you, and I seek Allah's protection from them becoming a reality among you. لَمْ تَظْهَرِ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ قَطْ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوا بِهَا إِلَّا فَشَى فِيهِمُ الطَّاعُونُ وَالْأَوْجَاعُ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ مَضَتْ فِي أَسْلَافِهِمُ الَّذِينَ مَضَوْا When people, or when the sin of zina, fornication, immorality, open sexuality, transgression when it comes to sexual and intimate activity. When it becomes spread among the people and it's practiced publicly, Allah will send among them plagues and diseases that were never before in the people that came before them. What does this cover? Everything outside the proper marriage as prescribed in Islam. Any kind of relationship that is beyond that. We tend to think about extremes, right? But anyone, any human being who engages in any intimacy outside the appropriate relationship of marriage between a man and a woman, is contributing to that state, whether they like it or not. You think having a girlfriend is an innocent activity or an innocent thing? Or some kind of adventure? You are messing with Allah. It's serious. You think when you support immoral lifestyles, violations of the limits of Allah, that things will be all right? No. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً And beware of a fitna, punishment, that will not only befall those who are guilty among you. Just like the Prophet ﷺ told Zaynab radiallahu anha, when she said, أَنَهْلَكُ وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ Are we to be destroyed and punished? When among us are the righteous people, he said, yes, when evil becomes widespread, apparent, public. تنقص المكيال والميزان and when you start cheating when you don't give people the right in the transaction إلا ولم ينقص المكيال والميزان إلا أخذوا بالسنين وشدة المؤونة وجور السلطان when people start cheating in their transactions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make their livelihood hard. It will be hard to earn sufficient living. It becomes hard to support oneself and one's family. And with droughts, drought that will befall people where people don't have crops, they don't have vegetables, fruits, animals don't have anything to eat. And that translates in many forms, in many ways. And forest fires are part of this. وَجَوْرِ السُّلْطَانِ and the oppression, the injustice of their governors and rulers. And you know, when you think about oppression of the governors and rulers, don't only think about the tyrants who everyone recognizes them for who they are, but think about the soft oppression of today, where people think that they are free, but they are controlled. People think they have choice and they actually don't. Because today, these days are the days of deception, as we spoke about previously. People think that they have choice, but they actually don't. People think that they are free, but they don't know that they are governed by tyrants. And they are given limited choice. And that's because people's minds are being programmed. People are being deceived at a very deep level. People don't realize this. It's the age of soft power, soft influence, soft tyranny. Because you can't tell. It's not soft, but you can't tell. It's so subtle. وَلَمْ يَمْنَعُوا زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ إِلَّا مُنِعُوا الْقَطْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَلَوْلَا الْبَهَائِمُ لَمْ تُمْطَرُوا. And when people withdraw their zakah, they withhold their zakah. They don't give zakah, the rights of the poor among them. They will be prevented from rain showers, from rain, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And had it not been for the animals and the plants, they would not receive rain at all. وَمَا لَمْ تَحْكُمْ أَئِمَّتُهُمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يَنْقُضُوا عَهْدَ اللَّهِ وَعَهْدَ رَسُولِهِ إِلَّا سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًّا مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ فَأَخَذُوا بَعْضَ مَا كَانَ فِي أَيْدِهِمْ. And if they do not observe the covenant and the agreement that they have with Allah and His Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, as a Muslim, you have signed an agreement with Allah to worship Him, to live for Him, and to obey His Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, to be a Muslim. And every time you violate the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you blemish your commitment to this agreement. So when people stop abiding, people stop worshipping Allah, when Allah takes second place or last place in their life, when people's family, when someone's family, business, future of their children comes first before Allah, so they violate the limits of Allah, they transgress the limits of Allah. Why? For the future of my kids. To make a little more money, for my business to be successful, so I can maintain this job, so my kids can get the best degrees in school and university, right? Put Allah second place, violating the agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the result of this? What is the fruit of that? Allah says, إِلَّا سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًّا مِّنْ غَيْرِهِمْ فَأَخَذُوا بَعْضَ مَا كَانَ فِي أَيْدِهِمْ. Allah would send upon them enemies from other than them who would take some of their possessions, some of their land, some of their wealth, some of their dignity, some of their freedom, some of the things that Allah has given them. And we see that. You don't have to live in a Muslim land to experience this, but Allah will send people upon you who will take unjustly part of your wealth, part of your freedom, part of your livelihood, and different things as well. وَمَا لَمْ تَحْكُمْ أَئِمَّتُهُمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَيَتَخَيَّرُوا مِمَّا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ بَأْسَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ. And when their leaders do not judge and rule by the revealed legislation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the political leaders, except that Allah will turn them against each other, so they will fight each other. And we see this You know, we all hide, we all embrace identities that were created by a group of human devils who put the map on the table more than 100 years ago. And they started drawing lines along the territory of where Muslim populations live. The remains of the Ottoman Empire. And these devils drew some lines here and there, and they said, this is Egypt. This is Iraq. This is Libya. This is Algeria. This is Syria. This is Lebanon. This is Saudi. This is Oman. This is Qatar. This is Pakistan. This is Bangladesh. This is India. And what do? We take that dirty game and we embrace it as an identity and we fight each other because of it. Right? We say, you are Egyptian. You're not like me. I'm from Syria. Really? And someone says, I'm from Somalia, you're from Djibouti. Right? Oh, you're Moroccan, I'm Algerian. We're different. And we take ourselves seriously. That's our problem. Or at least one of our problems. So the Prophet ﷺ, and that's the point. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to warn his ummah, to wake them up to the reality of this life. I want to share with you something about the Prophet ﷺ as he warned us, because he wanted us to take this life seriously and to realize that we are not here just to enjoy life. We're not here just to buy the best kind of house or car and go on the most extravagant vacation and, you know, have a big bank account and educate our kids in the best schools. All of this are just matters of this life. They are secondary to our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, يتقارب الزمان ويقل العمل ويكثر ويظهر الشح وتظهر الفتن ويكثر الهرج. قالوا يا رسول الله وما الهرج؟ قال الهرج القتل. The Prophet ﷺ says time will feel shorter towards the end of time. Days will feel shorter, more rapid. ويقل العمل. And good deeds, righteous deeds will become less and less and less. There will be more evil. ويظهر الشح. Miserliness. People are so concerned about themselves. What is in it for me? My wealth, my money, I need to make a profit. It's all about me. And forget about everyone else. And fitan, trials, confusions will become very apparent, widespread. وَيَظْهَرُ الْهَرْجِ. And الْهَرْجِ, the Prophet was asked, what is this? The Prophet said, people killing each other. People killing each other. We've seen this in many parts of the world. In many parts of the world, and it happens maybe less frequently now with a lot of crimes. Knife crime is on the rise, right? People are killed, they don't know why they're killed. People don't feel safe. Populations are being wiped out, not knowing why. The Prophet ﷺ one day said to the companions, radiallahu anhum, إني أرى ما لا ترون وأسمع ما لا تسمعون أطت السماء وحق لها أن تئط فما فيها موضع أربع أصابع إلا وملك واضع جبهته ساجدا لله والله لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا وما تلذذتم بالنساء على الفرش ولخرجتم إلى الصعودات تجأرون إلى الله. We'll explain this hadith in the second part of the khutbah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعده. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in this hadith that I see what you don't see and I hear what you don't hear. The skies are about to crack under the load that is upon them. They produce a sound like a squeaky sound because of the heaviness of the load of what's on them. He says, there is no space of four fingers except that there is an angel that has put his forehead on the ground prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, wallahi, if you knew what I know, you would laugh much less. And you would weep much more. And you would not enjoy your spouses. And you would run out in the open crying out to Allah for help. That's the world we live in. At the time of Al-Hajjaj, when he really ruled with an iron fist, and there was a lot of oppression, especially in Iraq, people came to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and they complained to him. فقال أنس رضي الله عنه لا يأتي عليكم زمان إلا والذي بعده شر منه. He said, اصبروا لا يأتي على الناس زمان إلا والذي بعده شر منه سمعته من نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, be patient. There's no time that comes except that it is worse than the time before. I heard that from your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are the lessons that we take from that? Trials are the norm. The closer we get to the Day of Judgment, the more trials are going to be in this life. Is this a reason for despair and fear? It should give us healthy fear that we should take this life seriously. That the false promise that modern civilization and ideologies and other ways of life promise us of a beautiful life, an easy life, a rich life, and all of that are literally things that blind us from the reality of this life. We are here to be tested. Allah is testing us. And Allah has given us the tools that will save us from any trial. As long as you truly trust in Allah, and as long as you put Allah first in your life, and as long as you ask the help of Allah and try your best to be sincere, honest, and devout, Allah will not let you down. Allah said about Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. And thus we protect him from evil, from harm, and from sin. Why? Because he is from the sincere servants. We need, in order to be saved from this life, we need to put Allah, from the trials of this life that are actually confusing, we need knowledge. We need to learn the Quran. When we put the education, the secular education of our kids before the knowledge of the Quran, when we put their commitment to their studies and their career before the commitment to the prayer, we're gonna pay a hefty price. Things are gonna get worse. The trials will get more aggressive, and it will get to a point where not only our children are at risk, but even ourselves. So you need to take precautions. You need to start preparing yourself from now. Study the Quran, learn the Quran with your family, with the means you have. Pick a simple book of tafsir, read it along with your family every day, 10-15 minutes. Learn to recite the Quran, help your kids memorize and learn the Quran. And when there is an environment that is poisoning your kids, you need to seriously make vital decisions about your life. And you can't say, I can't do anything. This is a responsibility. This is why we are here in this life. We're not here to make money. You're going to make money anyway. You're going to survive anyway. Allah provides. But don't turn around the priorities. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us pure and take care of all of the believers and guide them to what He loves. Just a reminder, you know what's going on with Muslims in different parts of the world? And there is a campaign for the Muslims who are being persecuted in India. And we know what's been happening. And, you know, the whole world is just turning a blind eye to that, especially politicians. So there is a political effort among the Muslims to put some pressure on the government to really do something, or at least take a stance with regards to the Indian government and how they are treating Muslim populations. So just make sure there is a petition that, you know, you'll be given some information about that. Inshallah, maybe Brother Hassan can update you on this, where you at least just sign or send this email, and inshallah, just something simple like that might help, even a little bit. At least something that we can do. So you're invited to do that. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna 'ala al qawmi al kafirin. Allahumma ighfir lana wa tajawaz 'anna. Allahumma abrim li hadhihi al ummati amra rushd yu'azzu fihi ahlu ta'atik wa yudhallu fihi ahlu ma'siyatik wa yu'malu fihi bi kitabika wa sunnati nabiyyika sallallahu 'alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik 'ala 'abdika wa rasulika Muhammad wa 'ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin wa aqim as-salah.